Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Ooh, I found Jesus. This is a special day. And as fascinating as that is, I'm like an apartment building where you have to buzz to come upstairs on the intercom.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, let's play a strip talk show. This is how this works. I talk, and you take your clothes off. Every time I talk, you have to remove an article of clothing. What the hell's wrong with me? Doing today? Everything good? You don't look good. You look a little pale. You look like a little pale. I brushed my teeth this morning as I do every morning, and I also went through the flossing exercise. I don't like flossing. I don't like sticking string between my teeth. It seems a bit archaic with all the technology that we have, the oral technology and all this stuff. I'm sticking a wax string between my teeth. It just seems so wrong. I don't take string and clean the rest of my body by sticking a string into my crevices. Maybe I should, but I don't. What is it with the teeth that I have to take a piece of string and insert it? What is that? What? I gotta talk to my dentist. I'm not thrilled with my dentist, I gotta tell you. I'm really not. I don't know what my dentist really does for a living. Got a card from my dentist. My 6-month card. I get it every 6 months. It should be a nice little greeting card or something, you know, like something that rhymes, like, hello, how are you doing, Keith? Isn't it time to come in and have me clean your teeth? Something, you know, something personal like that. My dentist sends me little tooth cleaning reminders to come into the office, have my teeth cleaned. He just gets right to the point, which I guess I appreciate. He sends me a card saying, how the hell am I supposed to send my kids to college if you don't come into the office every once in a while and have your teeth cleaned? How the hell am I supposed to support my kids? You got a point. You got a point. I get it. We should all do that. Anyway, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. That's about all you need to know. Now sit down and shut up. I'll take it from here. You don't have really much to do at all, but listen to this. That's really the burdens on me here.
Shut up!
All right. God, just be quiet. Anyway, welcome to the program.
Please be quiet. shut up!
Yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be transparent? Wouldn't it be great? Like your friend calls you. Hi, how are you doing? Yesterday, I got up and I flossed my teeth and then I went over to the ground and then I took my dog to the dentist and what did I say?
Shut up!
You can't do that, though. You can't tell somebody to shut up. I've tried many times. It doesn't turn out well for me. When I was younger, I used to call it verbal diarrhea. People that just talk too much, I think just to hear themselves talk. I think they're uncomfortable with silence. I think that's what it is, really. They feel like that every moment of every part of their life has to be filled with some type of noise. I really think that's the case. Because I can't imagine anybody talking so much about nothing just to hear themselves talk and to really think that that's proper. Do you know what conversation is, kids? You say something, then I say something, then you say something, then I say something. After I've said something, you say something. Then you stop, and you say to me, and what do you think? Or has anything like that ever happened to you? And then I say something. I keep it short and sweet, pretty much the same length as what the other person said in their dissertation. And then I cut it short, and I ask them how they feel about it, and they respond accordingly. This can go on for a period of time, but at least the conversation is well balanced. Both parties feel like they're participating and that their feelings and thoughts are being made known and considered as well. When you hear somebody talk, you're supposed to respond to what they said in an effort to show that I was listening to what you were saying. Now, many people that I know, when they talk to me, and I probably won't have any friends left after this show today, they just talk at me. They consider me to be a wall where you can just throw balls up against the wall and the wall isn't going to do anything about it. Well, I've had enough. So I've started doing little small retorts when someone's talking a lot. And if you know me, here's how you know that you are talking too much and I am losing interest very quickly. And my retort usually is, well, what's your point? Get to the point. What are you trying to say? If I say that to you, that's a clue that I have checked out of the hotel. I've packed my bags, I've paid my bill, and I'm already driving away while you're still talking. That's what that means. I'm no longer paying attention. I had a friend, I'd say over a decade ago. It was a guy. And he would call me and talk to me. I don't know why, because I never talked back to him. I never engaged in a conversation. This man had verbal diarrhea. He just kept talking and talking and talking and talking. And every once in a while, I would just simply, without thinking, I would take the phone away from my ear, put it down on the table, and go do something. And the person would just be talking to nobody. This would go on for a long time, and the person would never know that I wasn't there listening because everything that was going on did not require a response from me. It did not require my participation. I could have put the phone down, gotten my car, driven to a movie theater, seen a 2.5-hour movie, gone to the bathroom, come back, pick up the phone, and the guy would still be speaking and not realize that I wasn't there for 2.5 hours. Finally, one day, I said to the guy, look, you talk too much. You're, like, really bothersome. I never heard from the guy again, because I guess I had outlived my usefulness as being a wall. And I said to myself at that point, I'm never doing this again. I am a person of value. I don't need to be talked to. Anytime this happens again, there shall be a conversation or there shall not be an interaction. And I've lived by that ever since. I needed to correct that. These are not friends, people that talk at you. They're using you as a sounding board. And every once in a while, you're supposed to say to them, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more. Well, it's not interesting. I don't want to hear any more. I think the world would be a better place if we just shut up and just listened. Now, I'm not directing this specifically at Donald Trump, but I certainly think that's applicable in that particular situation.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
I'm not promoting violence, but if Donald Trump's fingers were cut off, I think we'd be in a better place. And I'm talking about the twatting that he does continually. It's so funny to me to listen and watch a 76-year-old man. I think he's 76. I don't know what the hell he is. He's like, I don't know. I don't know what he is. I don't know what planet he's from. I don't know what skin color that is. I don't know what happened to his psychologist, why he isn't taking his medications. I don't know anything about Donald Trump, other than the fact that he just will not shut up. He is the oldest child I have ever heard of in my life. He's in his 70s. I think it's the late 70s. I don't really know. It doesn't really matter. And he acts like a child, like he's standing in a schoolyard just bullying, calling everybody names, and saying, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, I'm the bully, I'm the master, I'm the smartest person in the world. This is so childlike. And yet, he becomes like some type of antiquated millennial by tweeting all the time. He doesn't even understand that thing. In the middle of the night, he does this, when most people are supposed to be sleeping. This man never sleeps. He tweets. He misunderstood what the doctors said. They said you're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep a night, not you're supposed to get 8 hours of tweet a night. He misunderstood that. Out of all the people that I know, Donald Trump has really got to shut up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up! Shut up!
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Shut up!
Oh, God. That's enough.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
My guest today is a renowned author who has written a book about family relations. This is interesting stuff. Here's the deal. We all love our family. They're good people. We all love our children. We raise them to be like us. We dress them the same way we like to dress at their age. We teach them our values, what we think is important, what we think that they should do. We place our own restrictions on our children based on our experiences in life. So you can't really, you know, you love your children because they are little yous. They are you if you were still running around at that age, because they're a reflection of you. You've raised them accordingly. They even have your DNA. Your don't know attitude. I think that's what DNA stands for. I'm not a scientist, but I believe that's what it is. So, yeah, we have a closeness to our children. We have a closeness to our parents because, not because they are so nurturing and so wonderful, it's because they were there for so long. Your entire childhood, your parents were there, unless something horrible happened, for which I feel very sorry. But basically, you know what I'm saying. Your parents were an incredible influence on you. But that's where the buck stops, as far as I'm concerned. I know plenty of sisters who fight continually and plenty of brothers who don't get along and have this competition kind of thing going, or you got more than I did and I'm this, and you got this and I got that. Anybody that you spend a lot of time with is going to be your target for your frustrations. This is why many marriages don't work out. Because two people living in the same house or the same apartment for an extended period of time, what if you have a bad day? Who are you going to take that out on? People don't walk around with a bad day or something bad that happened to them out in life. They don't keep it to themselves and smile and eat ice cream and cookies and there are little sparkles coming out of their eyes. No, they're pissed. So who do you take out that at? You got to dump that attitude on somebody. It's your loved one. It's your child. It's your spouse. It's your boyfriend. It's your girlfriend. They take the brunt of your attitude because life is tough. Life is weird. It flings a lot of shit at you. Life is like a monkey in a cage throwing its poop at your body. And you're getting hit by the poop continually. What are you supposed to do? Is just stand there and smile? No, you take it out on your loved one because of their close proximity. That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with a loss of love or a loss of relationship. You're just venting your frustrations on the nearest person. You're flinging your monkey poop at people. I understand that. I get it. But that's where it stops. There's things called cousins and uncles and aunts. They can be wonderful people. But when the holidays come along, like Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's like, oh, God. Watch out. Here comes crazy Uncle Harry. Drops his pants every time someone carves a piece of turkey. Crazy Harry with his white supremacist attitude, or his racial comments at the dinner table, or his anger issues, or his way of stirring up controversy so everybody pays attention to him. These are crazy people, but they're connected to you because they're family. There are a lot of abusive parents out there who really abuse their children, both psychologically and physically. Are you supposed to dismiss this because, well, they're my parents? That's my mother. That's my father. I know they're abusive, but that's my parents. I mean, where do you draw the line? Well, apparently, and the author of this book was in a circumstance like that. And their family was just ruining her. So she did something about it. She wrote a book. But she did something that most of us can't do. And that's stand up and have balls. Now, you're not supposed to hurt people, but if they're hurting you in an immense way, You've got to stop the pain and move on. You can't spend your entire life being hurt by people. You don't hurt them back. You dismiss them. Like school at the end of the day. All right, kids, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm going to dismiss you for the day. Go home. That's what you must do with your parents, if that's the case. You can't take on the burden of family members just because they have the same blood as you do. That's what I truly believe. People are people. If they're going to take a dump on your face, it doesn't matter if it's your parents, your sister, your brother, your uncles, your aunts. It doesn't matter who it is. Your spouse, when they start flinging the poop, it's time for you not only to duck, because you get tired of ducking, you can hurt your back. You move away. You get out of it. Or you tell them, hey, you're flinging poop at me and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's the way you got to live your life, man. So that's our conversation today. That's going to be our tackling subject. Do you have a family member that, you know, doesn't belong in the family? How did this person get in the family? They're nuts. I think we all have that. You know, it's funny. I talk about this all the time with people because I am the virtual psychologist. I don't know why. That's my personality. People come to me, tell me their problems, and they wait for a response from me. And I don't charge the money for my response. I should. But I don't. But here's what I've always believed. Simply because somebody is related to you doesn't mean that gives them a license to fling poop at you. And it doesn't give you a license to fling poop at them. We've all been to people's houses. Like, you know, let's say you're a married couple and you go over to somebody else's house, another married couple, and you go in there and everything is wonderful and they're smooching. Hi, poopy. You want to bring out the hors d'oeuvres? Okay, I'll get them for you. I'll help you in the kitchen. They just seem so wonderful. And then the children, you know, they say, this is Bobby and this is Sally. These are our kids. Hi, kids. Hello, Mr. Van Damme. How are you? It's nice to meet you. What wonderful kids you have. What a wonderful relationship you have. What a wonderful family life you have. This has been a wonderful evening. Thank you so much. We'll have to do this again. And then you leave and you feel horrible. My family isn't this nice. My home life isn't this smooth and isn't this quiet and respectful and wonderful and like TV, situation, comedy, Leave It to Beaver. That's not my life. These wonderful people, they are so lucky. They are so fortunate. What you don't understand is as soon as you leave their house from that wonderful evening, that family goes into chaos. Bobby, go to bed, you little sucker. You know, you go to bed. If you don't go to bed, there's going to be no TV for 16 years. You go to bed. And Arthur, don't tell me what to do. When I wanted to get to the hors d'oeuvres, I wanted you to get to the hors d'oeuvres. You're supposed to stop me and say, no, I'll get to the hors d'oeuvres, honey. But you didn't. You made me get to the hors d'oeuvres, you little bastard. I've been married to you way too long, you little stupid little... You know, guy, next time you get to the hors d'oeuvres, I tell you these hors d'oeuvres are going to end our marriage. You don't see that part. But I guarantee it happens. So, let's speak to our guest about these blood relationships.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello, Dr. Sherry.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Dr. Sherry joins us, Dr. Sherry Campbell to be exact. And we're talking about her new book, But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. I wanted to do this interview with you because I know many people who are in this boat.
Yes.
So is this, obviously this is something you went through, I assume?
Yes, I was actually raised in a toxic family. And, you know, throughout my healing and trying to figure out where the problem was it me? Was I too sensitive? Was it them? I did a lot of reading and soul searching, and the literature was helpful, but it also let me down because it really didn't give me any way to take care of myself. And, you know, maybe fully separating from the family. That was sort of not something I was able to find.
Right.
And so I wrote the book.
Huh. And you sound very happy.
I am happy. It's taken lots of time, and I also think that I'm, you know, I'm a tenacious person, so... I've got that to me, maybe more than others, but I am happy because I've set the right boundaries in my life and I got the bad out so that I could enjoy the good.
Yeah, a lot of the bad comes from manipulation by family members, I have found, and it's very difficult when you've been manipulated all your life to break away from something like that because that is the norm in that relationship.
Yes, and it's the norm of what you know about love.
Right, true.
You know, if you're raised in this, you know, then you don't know anything different. Love seems like tension and anxiety and a lack of trust. You know, had you been raised in a healthy family, you end up in a relationship, let's say with a toxic friend or a toxic lover,
yeah.
There's something in you that's going to go, this isn't love. But when you've been raised that way and then you meet these people, it's you continue to think that you're the problem.
Yeah, we have, and then I guess we battle guilt trips, which are very deep into the personality. That's really hard to shake. And again,
especially when you're their child.
yes, indeed. And that also that also brings up how do you replace family because you turn on the Hallmark Channel or something, and everything is like everything is family, and here. Your situation is incredibly toxic. That's got to be depressing.
Well, it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, so you're looking out and seeing things that you want so bad, and you know you should have it.
Yes.
And so there oftentimes as a child, you just pretend that you have what other people have, but just knowing you don't.
Yeah.
There's another issue is that once you cut ties and you don't have the big billboard of family, what does everybody want to know when they first meet you? Hi, how are you? Who are you?
Right.
Where's
right.
your family?
Right.
So there's that whole issue too. That's challenging.
Dr. Sherry, when you break away from something, usually you do a replacement method where, if you want to stop smoking, you replace it with the nicotine gum or whatever the case may be. Or you change food habits. You switch to something more healthy. But with a family, how do you replace that void that might become a void in your life? What do you do to replace that?
For me, I used to look for the replacement family. I mean, even when I was in my family, I was looking for the replacement family. So I no longer do that. One, it's unfair to the people who aren't my family. I have a family, and it's like having a hole in my Swiss cheese.
Uh-huh.
So... if I am wanting other people to come in and love me in that way, I'm putting an undue pressure on them and my expectations are always going to be hurt. So the best thing to put in that hole is your own self-care and your own self-love. Mm-hmm. We don't want to put pressures on other people, but you can have a ton of love in your life, but the only people who can fill that hole of family are the family members that are not going to do that. So acceptance is a big piece of this, and getting into therapy has been very big for me, and just learning self-love and self-care. So those are the things you want to put in that hole.
Yeah. Did you? Was there a period of time where you actually sat with family members and actually told them where it's at, and did they understand? Did they not understand? I mean, do you try to reason with something that of that magnitude that seems unreasonable to begin with?
For 45 years, I tried. I even wrote another book. I had self-published a book years ago, and it was my story. And that is the exact reason that my toxic family is out of my life, is because I wrote my story.
Yeah.
So there's no reasoning. The ego is so big, and they view themselves as so above reproach that they can't see your story is about you. It's all about them. So there's no reasoning.
Yeah.
Nope.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't see the difference between, I mean, they say you don't choose your family, but you do choose your friends and your partners. And I mean, if you don't choose your family, why should you expect that to be utopia?
I don't know. And there's this value of family that's culturally held that, you know, many writers in the literature, I feel, were afraid to go against, and I'm not afraid to go against it. The reason that is I was either going to die in a burning building or I was going to jump.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I did this out of confidence. I did this because there was no other choice.
Yeah. It's a fascinating book, and I think you're talking to a lot of people that can relate and are looking for answers and for comfort. That's what it's all about. When you hear somebody else who went through it, you're not alone anymore, and that's part of what this book is about as far as I'm concerned. It's called But It's Your Family, and it's Dr. Sherry Campbell. We call her Dr. Sherry. How did they get more information about this?
So this book is a number one new release.
Great.
Very excited about that. And you can find it on my website, which is www.sherrycampbellphd.com, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all major booksellers.
Great. Now just say that Sherry is spelled S-H-E-R-R-I-E, because there are different ways of spelling it. And that way you can find her and follow her. Pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, did you find that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Did it give you a little bit of power? I think it should. I'm out of time for today. They only let me do this for a certain period of time, and then I have to stop. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, oh my goodness, I wish you peace.